7:13. You're listening to Daybreak in downtown Prince George at 91.5 FM. Well, a dark chapter of Canadian history is under the spotlight this week. A class action lawsuit now underway in Ontario. The plaintiffs, some of the children taken from First Nations communities in what was called the 60s scoop. As many as 16,000 Indigenous children taken from their homes in First Nations communities and placed to grow up with non-Native families. Now, the story has made national headlines, but it's a very local story for Northern BC as well. To find out more, I reached Warner Adam. He's Executive Director of Carrier-Sicani Family Services in Prince George. Warner, good morning.
Good morning.
We're hearing about this court case in Ontario, but a very similar situation here in BC. In fact, I believe I first met you at a ceremony in Burns Lake where the government was coming to apologize or make some sort of effort to apologize for taking kids from Indigenous homes in the 60s.
Yes, I recall that event quite clearly. I think it was that wiping of the tears where we invited both levels of government, the federal and provincial government, to discuss how we would move forward in, first of all, bringing children home, but developing strategies to reduce the number of Aboriginal children in care of state. So, and sadly to say, not much has changed. And in fact, there are more Aboriginal children in care than at the height of the residential school system, when many of our children were taken away by government to place into Indian residential schools. So the child welfare system is no different, sadly to say. It's a contemporary form of removing children and isolating families once again.
So we're talking about a historical issue with the 60s scoop. You're saying things could be even worse now.
I believe it's even worse now. Many chiefs are aware that the system really hasn't changed much over the last decade. And in fact, it's getting worse. And I think the problem is very systemic and is probably predicated on the antiquated policies that government employ with respect to keeping children in safe. In this day and age, it costs about $60,000 upon average to keep a children safe and in care. But the whole system has to be overhauled, because right now, all the children that are in care are predominantly in non-Aboriginal foster homes. So come with that a litany of some problems like loss of culture, loss of language. And when they do return or age out, they end up on the streets. Or if they come home, they're prone to culture shock. So
they lose their culture.
They lose their culture, definitely.
The government's defense in the 60s was that what they were doing was in the best interests of the children and that they were following the norms of the day. What's your response to that?
I think it depends on around how you define what's best for children. Keeping them safe is an important issue, but we do have infrastructure problems in our communities. In order to do that effectively, we need resources for group homes or clan homes, and we need the system to be more accommodating to First Nations foster parents. And it's also ingrained in issues related to poverty. I think we need to work front end with the community to make sure that we strengthen the existing community infrastructure to make sure children remain safe and at home, or where necessary, at least have some kind of connectivity with their home communities.
I'm sure few people today would argue with you that it is best to keep kids at home, close to home, with relatives, with family, with their community. But is a non-Native foster home still more desirable than no home at all?
To me, if there is no home, if there are no homes available in our communities, definitely the next best would be a safe home, regardless of ethnicity. I think it's important to really nurture connectivity with the children that are in care with their home communities. And we are getting foster parents, both Native and non-Native, willing to ensure that culture remains an important part of any child that goes into care. How to do that, I think we still have to work on the mechanics with the governments. We are totally looking forward to working with the federal government to overhaul the entire system for children and families for First Nations.
You grew up in this region. You've likely heard stories as part of your work and with family and friends about the 60s scoop. Is there anything that stays in your mind, any image, any story?
I think for me, what's disturbing is the fact that although statistics demonstrate to us that putting children in care hasn't produced good, healthy development of our people that went through the system, and the timing is right to start changing the system so that children remain healthy, remain connected to their communities, and provide a wide array of educational opportunities for them, starting from early learning, starting from cultural integration, etc.
Have you spoken with people who were adopted out from northern communities in the 60s? What have you heard from them?
I have. They share similar stories to that of the residential school system, that basically they were taken away from communities, and that had a lot of impact on their ability to integrate with society, both First Nations and non-First Nations. And it's just abject poverty that they suffered. Many people thought that government owes them an apology and some kind of redress.
We're seeing this court case in Ontario. Do you have any sense that a similar class action could be tried here in BC?
There's always that opportunity for First Nations to consider going to court with respect to righting the wrongs that have been done. Certainly there's been talk about that. Certainly there's been talk about taking the provincial government through the MCFD to the BC Human Rights Court around discrimination with respect to their policies, that it does not provide enough resources to maintain children in the home of the community. Cindy Blackstock from Caring for Our Children's Society has successfully won a human rights case federally, and I believe there's a similar option for BC First Nations to consider challenging the provincial government.
Werner Adam, thanks so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Thank you.
Werner Adam grew up in northern BC, and he's now based in Prince George as the executive director of Carrier Secondy Family Services. What do you think about what you've just heard and the fact that the situation in 2016 may actually be worse than during the 60s scoop? We'd love to hear from you. You can email us daybreaknorth@cbc.ca, call our listener line at 1-866-340-1932. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Daybreak North.